And it's Thursday morning. It's time for Tom and Shane Business of Politics. We are live, so all the stupid stuff we say will be unedited. So get ready. Who knows what the hell we'll talk about? So, well, before we get started, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment because YouTube likes that kind of stuff. And if you'd like to support us monetarily, and why would you not? There's a link in the description below with all the great stuff that Shane and I will do for you if you support us monetarily. Personally, we'll do stuff for you, believe it or not. So, and we do these on StreamYard if you would like to make your own videos just like Shane and I do. I mean, how hard can it be? I mean, we're doing it. We're old and decrepit and, clueless. So...
Well, the great thing here, what the producer, director, and all around amazing Eagle Man is telling you, is that we can do a split screen, so you can come on live. We'd love to have you come on and tell us about your company. We'd like to talk to you about your company and maybe give you some tips on helping your company grow and expand. If you're having personal issues with finance, you could comment, and we'll certainly give you our observations and some advice, which we try to do and have since we started this. And the other thing too is it's a great way for you if you have a company to generate recognition and clients. You know, we have Money Mike on about once a month, and we specifically talk about money. But today we want to talk about politics. We don't do this very often. Normally I would, an uncensored topic with, that basically, is about, I keep saying that, I shouldn't, stop me, interrupt me, put a finger up when I say, Anyway, we usually take a topic that has relevance to what's going on, whether it's global warming and the aspects of that. Things that people haven't talked about and should, price of commodities and so forth. But after the speech a couple of weeks ago,
hang on. Whoa. But I haven't gotten through the introduction yet.
Oh, I thought you were done. Okay.
No, I just got to the StreamYard part of it.
Oh, okay.
Because we also write on medium.com. So there's a link in the description below. There's also a link for the description, how to get to StreamYard to get a free version of them as well that you could test out or try out. And as Shane jumped right in on, what we want to talk about today is Biden's interview on 60 Minutes, which was on last Sunday night. Right after he averted that rail strike. Oh my God, how lucky are we that we had Biden in the presidency to avert a $2 billion a day rail strike?
Well, first of all, they're Democrats. They're supposed to be big union supporters, so this is not a surprise. And it was not, they talked about, it was 20 hours of solid to go. No, it wasn't. They gave him everything they wanted. They get a bonus. They get they get a kickback. They gave him everything that they wanted. To be able to make sure that the trains can continue to flow, because that would only be more disastrous for the Biden economy than what we're already dealing with. We're seeing the results. We've been dead on this. Our timing has been completely correct. The benefactor of this, of course, has been the Fed, that's trying to lighten its balance sheet. When they were in Wyoming a month ago, I'm sure he told them all, we have to sell. We've got to sell debt, got to raise the Fed rate. It's not about inflation, it's about your debt and the failure of the Treasury Department to be able to sell it. So since last May, the numbers have been horrific. The weekly auctions of your debt have resulted in less than 30% of what the Treasury's often offered, weekly, particularly on Tuesdays. less than 30% of it being bought. So yeah, it's a really difficult situation for the United States, which is why he's raising the Fed rate to drive up interest rates. Doesn't care about the market, doesn't care about Americans. You know, he just raised it a full 75 basis points. That's 0.75. So it's like 3.25 to 3.5 now. And, mortgage rates have jumped to 6.25%, highest in 40 years. Of course, they got to 21% back in 1980 under Carter, but we'll see where it goes. All right, Tom, you can come back now. Thomas?
Well, the Dow dropped 1,300 points after the inflation report. And we want to talk about a couple of things that Biden talked about, or that
sure.
I guess 60 Minutes talked about.
Yeah, he changed everything.
And, yeah, I know.
You'd think he'd fire the people that keep correcting him, but
yeah. Well, anyway, they listed his string of successes. June, he signed a gun safety bill. August, climate change bill, minimum tax on corporations, lower cost on drug prices, student loan forgiveness. What a guy! What's not to like about this Biden guy?
Well, the big problem was is that the excuse for or the cause for supposedly forgiving debt on student loans, as we all know, was predicated on COVID and a crisis. And then mm-hmm. during the interview, he said COVID's over, mm-hmm. and we have issues, so we're trying to deal with it. About 450 people apparently are still getting COVID in your country. Yeah. Meanwhile, China completely shut its economy down. There's over 100 million Chinese that work, of the 400. So 25% of their workforce is under lock and key. It's intentional. They don't have a COVID problem. We know that because we know the numbers here. So they can't be any different there. But they're trying to do this to the Chinese government's trying to use that with its people as cause to locking them in to shut their economy down because they're near, they're in a recession. Major. Yeah. They are already there. And they're watching everything slide. The yuan is going up in price, which they don't want, against the U.S. dollar, and because that makes their products more expensive. So their trading is dropping with other countries. These discussions Xi's having with Putin, and everything is a problem. And everybody seems worried that China wants to spend its money somewhere else. Let them. I mean, the Japanese, as we've talked about, did this in the 1980s and got their butt whipped. Yeah. And China's thinking, if we spend billions in Brazil or Indonesia or wherever, or we find somewhere to dig up more commodities than we have ourselves, let them spend it. It's not a benefit to them. They're tearing down some of these empty cities they built in the last 30 years because – nobody's moved in. So
yeah,
nobody can afford it. And quite honestly, nobody wants them.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to move out of Shanghai and come to some northern city in a desert. I mean,
Well, to full transparency, Biden didn't say COVID was over. He said the pandemic was over. I understand, but I just want to make sure that our viewers understand that that's what.
Yeah, but
said.
The importance of that
he didn't
is
watch,
not that.
He didn't
that's
watch
not the
it.
Importance. Hey, hey,
he it's, didn't watch not, it. Wait. I'm talking to people who didn't watch it.
I don't care.
Calm down. Calm down.
No, it's important because he's predicated this forgiveness on student loans on a crisis. Now it doesn't exist. So there's no reason for him to do that, which means he has to go to Congress to authorize them. Or have them authorize it. They're not going to do that. I mean, you're less than 50 days away from the election. Americans are already upset. I mean, he's down to 39% approval rating. Mm-hmm. And it's not the people that approve him. It's it's the over 50% of people that disapprove him. Or, 39%, give or take, is his base. His base is 32%. And so you're talking about 7% of independents or, undecided in the middle. And when that's the key number. That if it drops below 37 to 35, then the independents and libertarians are walking away. And if they're walking away, you got a serious problem, Mr. Democrat.
Yeah. Well, we've got less than Damn, I'm
drink some water. Yeah, it helps. I do that a lot on the on the Saturday show because
I didn't bring any with me. So, but anyway, this economy, a lot can happen in the 40 some days till this election.
Yeah, it's going to get worse. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's going to get worse, but
it's going to get a lot worse. And you know, the terrible reality is that while it looks like oil's softening, it's not. It's a holding pattern till the election, and then you'll see by Christmas it'll be over 100, and gas will be back over $10. Going to be a cold winter in Europe. They're already creating huge changes that they've never done before. I mean, they implemented $150 billion immediate tax on the gas deliverers in their countries to pay for people because of the profits they're making. See, most Germany doesn't produce gas. It just delivers it to people from whom they buy it. It's sort of like you remember that company that went bankrupt. Delivering gas in America. Enron. Yeah, very good. So it's a locked system, and they just pass on the cost of what they're paying for the gas to their customers. Well, now they're saying, well, we want those profits because we don't have any money, which they don't. Some of the Americans are all getting charged up because of the inversion on the Fed rates. I mean, the 20 and 30 year bills are dropping to 91 and 95 respectively in face value, while the interest rates are going up 5 to 6% on them. So you may not want to buy a 30 year bond, but you know, 2 year or 10 year, you're going to make, that's where you go. You're going to get a 2 to 7% return on it right now. And you're safe as long as, the shift doesn't hit the fan.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Shane mentioned $10 gas. It's he's in Canada and it's $10.
I'm talking natural gas. Natural gas.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know you do pay $10, or when gas was at its peak, you were paying $10 a gallon.
$12
in Canada.
Equivalent. Yeah. $12 US. $12 US equivalent. Right. Yeah. Now it's about down to $9 US. Can you imagine? We're largest producer of oil, and we're the largest importer of oil to the United States every day. And like, you think you're upset?
Oh, yeah. God. I was going to say, you guys are sitting pretty. Why are you paying so much for oil and for gas? Well, you always have. I don't know. And Europe always has.
Yes,
they've always been higher in gas than we are. So I don't know.
Well, it's the industry. Everything in Canada. You know, Canada's a great country, a fabulous country club to belong to or live in. But it's all a monopoly. Everything in Canada is a monopoly. Every industry. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're talking about food, you know, grocery stores, communications, network, cell phones, TV. Everything, dairy products, meat, all of it, oil, it's all a monopoly, and it's too bad. But
you got to pay for that free health care somehow,
Yeah, right, which is so effective.
I know, right? Yeah, you love it.
it's like a dream come true, right?
Yeah, don't tell them you're having a heart attack. You'll have to pay for the ambulance.
That's right. You remember I've told you that.
I know you told me that before. So
because
we're kind of going away from our Biden talk
here a little bit, but they're all included.
They're all included. Some of the other things. That he pointed out, they threw inflation at him, of course, 40-year high in inflation. And, he's saying, month to month, it's only ticked up. That's like saying, the unemployment rate was, 10%, the highest in 50 years, but it's now 9.9. So what are we complaining about?
This is further misconception of what's going on truly in the economy. It's misdirection because of the political situation. And it's confusion because their policy isn't working. So they don't know what to talk about. The reality about inflation, we both know, doesn't include in your country gas or food. So, you know, Americans are going liars all. Inflation is 12 to 15% minimum right now, probably higher.
At least,
They're refusing to admit. And the guy, you know, with palsy, talking to your president on Sunday at 60 Minutes, doesn't even say to him, well, you know, inflation that the government says we have doesn't include food and gasoline. And and if you include those, it's like 12 to 15%, Mr. President. Yeah. So, yeah, it's when the media in your country, like the media in Ukraine, like the media in Russia, like the media in China, is state controlled, which it is. I mean, your media is state controlled. In Canada, it's state controlled, right? Same thing. We all have the same problem. Brazil, state controlled. Turkey. I mean, the major India, the major democracies or dictatorships in the world all control the media. And so, you know, without a media to inform the public of the truth or transparency, whatever, you know, adjective you want to use, people have to discover it from people like you and me, because it ain't out there anywhere else, folks. But watch us, listen to us, because we're on the button.
Yeah, we certainly are. So,
and we make it look
easy.
That's right.
Get your easy button there.
Yeah, I got my easy button. Sorry, that's like 10 that. Years old. Right? Yeah, I got that. It's Staples.
There you go. So
they don't sell them anymore, so it's a classic.
I know. Yeah, you that thing's gonna be worth some money someday. So
I don't
hang on to it,
because I'm not selling that. No matter what it's worth, I'm not selling.
Not getting you rid of your easy button. All
no,
right, so.
Not me. I'm because I'm easy.
Yeah. Well, the other thing he talked about was China and Taiwan. He said unequivocally, if Russia goes into Taiwan, we're sending troops. And I think some of his people had to maybe back off on that a little bit. But, what do you think on Taiwan? You know, he saw what happened in Afghanistan. You know, he said we're pulling out, and you know, gave the Taliban the opportunity to just ride right in and take over. So, do you think Xi is thinking the same thing, that he can go into Taiwan and our paper tiger president will sit on his hands while he does it?
Well, here's a quick story. When the Chinese were having their civil war, Mao was fighting General Chiang Kai-shek, and he was the head of the Republican military called the Kuomintang. And when he cornered them, Chiang Kai-shek ran, stole everything, all the jade, all the gold, all the silver, all the art, and all the stock, and ran off to Taiwan. When I say stock, what happened was his wife was a big visitor to FDR during the China Civil War, before World War II. And seeking help and buying military equipment by the sale of Chinese art and silver to the U.S. government. So what she then did was, on top of that, she went and bought stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, a massive amount, particularly stocks that had dividends. So the Americans have to protect Taiwan, because one of the things that people in the market aren't disclosing to the world, or the American people, or to investors, is that everybody's invested in the U.S. or had been for this bull market the last 20 years. So this downturn has as much to do with what's going on globally for people to have access to funds. Europe was a big holder of U.S. stock equities on the Fortune 500, on the Dow, on the Standard & Poor's 500, on the high tech and everything. They've been blown up. Now, the Chinese have the same problem. They've been buying up Chinese debt since 1987 to prevent a collapse of the Japanese economy, third or fourth now, largest economy in the world. And what they did is, with their balance sheets, they could trade U.S. stocks. So, you know, they started selling their stocks early in the year because, they could see what was coming, in their opinion. So it's not just American investors or fund managers or retirement funds selling stock, or banks. it's global investors, and a lot of that's coming out of Taiwan.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people still think China owns us. Japan actually owns us, I believe.
That's right.
Shane, if I'm correct on that.
You are correct.
They own more of our debt. Yeah.
1.9 trillion and China's down to 1.7 trillion. Yeah. Only 7.8 trillion of your 30 is held by others. Rounded off at 8 trillion. Mm. So 22 trillion is basically held within your country. Mm. The Fed has 8. So, you know, you take that down to, you know, to 22 minus 8 is 14. Four to five in Social Security down to 9 trillion. Yeah. And then 9 trillion is held by, indexes and people on fixed income for, you know, the interest and so forth.
Yeah, I was going to say, the majority of the debt we owe to ourselves, it's in the left pocket.
Yeah, it's yours.
And we need to move it to the right pocket. So that's
why I've been so concerned about this over the last year, is that this fluctuation or failure for the market to absorb any of this. And so the buyer of last resort has been the Federal Reserve for the last 20 years. It's the 2008 debacle.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been going on through that. So, the war in Ukraine, the other thing the president said that was kind of interesting, he talked about cutting the debt by a billion, or the deficit, I'm sorry, not the debt, the deficit by $1 trillion, he said?
1.3, you've been bragging about it, yeah.
How do you do that when you send a boatload of money to the Ukraine? You forgive student debt, not all of it, obviously, but a portion of it. And the other things, the climate change thing, I don't see how this guy's spending money like it's his own.
Well, that's the other flip side of the Federal Reserve. You know, their balance sheet's about 12 trillion. They got about 5 trillion in mortgage-backed securities. Again, from 2008, they've been buying from the banks, plus U.S. debt that the banks bought, and then they sell it to the Fed. So the interest that they can get on those mortgage-backed securities, because they're a lot of them are 20 or 30 years old, they've been getting the Fed.
Yeah.
And then the interest on the U.S. debt they hold, which is around 7 to 8 trillion, the Fed's created a huge amount of revenue. They're sitting on about 1.3 trillion in cash.
Right.
That they will be transferring to the Treasury, which would reduce your debt by that amount. So it has nothing to do that Biden's done. He's, again, misdirecting, lying, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But Powell hasn't done it. Yeah. This was all expected to happen by, like, after the 1st of September. Mm-hmm. This is another reason the market is watching it. Yeah, this is why JP Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citigroup all sat in front of Congress last week and basically told the committees they sat before, this is not good. We're having a bad, but they're not going to tell them the truth. They all know it. I mean, the guys that are asking the questions, they all know it too.
Well, sure.
It's a quit spending, but they got to spend because they want power. But having said all that, the bottom line is the Fed is sitting on the cash that Biden wants to reduce your debt. But now Powell's looking and saying, I think I might want to keep this.
I may need it because
on this meeting yesterday that he happened to have after raising, you know, the Fed rate, you know, he said all of a sudden a reversal from a year ago where he wanted to sell you the U.S. debt he was sitting on. Now he made it one comment. I was waiting for it. Someone finally asked him about the Fed's balance sheet, and he said, well, you know, we're looking at that and we're going to expand our balance sheet. Now, that of everything that Powell said yesterday, I don't care what you hear on television, folks, you're hearing it here live first.
Yeah.
Powell just told you yesterday how bad this is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Three kinds of recovery for a recession: a V, down and straight up, which you had under Trump, but Biden destroyed it with what he did when he came in. a U where you go down, move, you know, move 2, 3, 4, 5 years and then move up, or an L where you go down and that bar just keeps going.
You stay there, yeah.
You could be there for 4 or 5 years, 10 years. You could turn into a depression. Well, that's what you're in. Yeah. This is an L-shaped recession, started in February. The end of the beginning of the recession ended in when they had their meeting in Wyoming, because, you know, Powell told all these billionaires and everybody else running all these trillion-dollar companies, you know, they may have to follow what you and I recommended, that he goes to them and sells them all, you know, converts U.S. debt for stock in their companies for preferred shares for them to pay interest to the Fed, which would look to the American people like they're being taxed. But that's only relevant if the Fed pays the Treasury the money, right? Like, so it is a great game, and I understand it. You understand it. We've talked about it, so we got to get it out there. We need people to know this.
Yeah, we do. Well, the other thing too, Shane, we've got two sides. You've got the financial side and you got the Fed side. The Fed doesn't seem to change anything. They look at what Greenspan did. They look at what Volcker did.
That's right.
You know, they look at that.
Bernanke.
The people, and Yellen also. But looking at the financial side adapts to what happens with the Fed, and the Fed doesn't adapt. They just keep doing the same, the same crap.
That's right. Look, the global economy is huge. We talk about the commodities and how big they are, and oil is the biggest commodity in the world. Okay, fine. What the biggest trading market in the world is that nobody really has anything to do with except banks and governments is sovereign debt. Yeah. So what's the result of that? The result of that is interest rates on that debt. Mm-hmm. The Fed and the U.S. Treasury does not have anything to do with the amount of interest people gain or the increase of interest on U.S. debt. That's done by the market. The market determines how much more. Why? Because they borrow from the Fed at 3.25%. And then they have to loan it out and to other people, you know, to make loans or corporations to people, individuals or companies. And they want 2 to 3% or 4%, depending on the customer's credit. So that's what drives the price of interest rates up. So the Fed knows that. Treasury Department knows that. All the politicians, senators, House members of the House, the president, the treasurer, everybody, they all know it. And that's the game that's being played. So no one wants to see, you haven't heard one person say, you know, well, you're raising the bank rate. Well, indirectly, yes, but he knows that. But it has nothing. He doesn't care about Americans paying more on their mortgages or on their car loans or on their credit cards. He doesn't care about the stock market and people's, you know, losing, what, $4 trillion now in the last year since, or 2 years and a half since it took over. $4 trillion Americans have lost in their retirement funds and personal accounts. Yeah. So he doesn't care about any of that. All he cares about is the debt. So he's trying to raise the debt so people will rush to America and buy it. Now, quantum easing, QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, started by Bernanke in 08. This is a real quick lesson. Got to learn this. Started with Japan in 87 with the crash. Their stock market was at 36. It crashed to 9. It's never gotten back. The highest it got back was 6 months ago to 28, 29. Now it's crashing again. And they came up with this concept where the banks would buy the debt from the government to leverage their balance sheet so they could buy stock. And it would be the stock market where they would make money, and then they'd hold the debt, you know, as a gracious honor.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Bernanke did. And every Fed chairman since Bernanke in 2008 has been doing the same thing, using the Fed and its balance sheet to basically hold up the U.S. sovereign debt. That's how scary this is. I mean,
yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. They're using, you know, they're not coming up with any new tactics because the financial side is. The financial side's coming up with all kinds of new things.
That's correct. But they have to.
You know, but they're sitting on on this, you know, like they've got this 2-page playbook, and that's the only playbook they have.
Well, the incredible thing is, I should have checked this, but I'm pretty certain I'm right. One thing that you have to look at that's just astounding, since the beginning of 2022, the number of IPOs, which I think are either none or less than a dozen. So just to cover myself, I should type it in and check it.
IPOs, initial public offerings.
The offerings of new public. And the initial public offerings of companies to go public, literally none.
And sell stock.
Or less than a dozen since the beginning of the year. Well, that tells you a lot. So,
well, yeah, a lot of these companies are fearful. You know, if we stick our foot out there and we don't get the money we need to expand, boy, we're dead in the water. So,
well, yeah, not only that, but gee, if we put our foot in the water and we raise $1 billion and then stick our foot out there and price it at $32, like Google did, and it opened at 80 and then went to 1,000. You know, that's not going to happen. You know, if you stick your foot in the water, you know, you've got your foot in a pile of cow shit on land. Okay.
Yeah.
So the risk you run is you go out at $30 a share and end up at 2 that day. Like you don't make the billions that you were making before. So it's not just the people, the insiders, because they can't sell. But the people that buy an initial public offering, they can't sell for 90 days. Yeah. So the only people that get to sell are the angel investors that invested over the last 2 to 5 years in this company. And they invested at pennies on the dollar. So they've always been the biggest winner. And that's why these stocks have, you know, this is why this whole thing will one day be crowned as the earnings per share crash, because they were telling people that stocks trading at 20, 30, 40 times earnings were a buy. Well, they lied. They lied. They misled people for a long time.
Yeah. Well, that's what's happening there. So, let's think
what
about
what else did Biden say that you wanted to cover?
Well, I think we've pretty well covered everything I can think of. The climate change bill. I mean, that's a ridiculous bill. I mean, that's silly.
It is, because we've covered this. Everyone's talking about electric vehicles, right? EFV, electric flying vehicles. Look, Morgan Stanley, $1.5 trillion business in the next 30 years. Over the next 30 years, $1.5 trillion. It's going to create over 50 million new jobs. These jobs will be over $100,000 a year jobs. It's going to replace the car. So don't buy an electric car. You know, buy a used car, drive it for a year, buy a new one, sell it and buy it. Yeah, because I thought it would take 10 or 15 years when we first started talking about this 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Now they're ready to go. They're going to be AI, artificial intelligence. I mean, I watched last night on BBC a show about Wi-Fi. We're heading towards Wi-Fi, and the amazing thing is that what this allows is AI to communicate with buildings, with cars, with planes, everything. So artificial intelligence driving cars and now flying taxis is not an issue. You and I had a good grind about this, and you said, how are they going to communicate with each other? And I watched the program last night, and, you know, it's Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, Generation 5, I mean G5 on Wi-Fi.
Sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got mixed up. So Generation 5 of Wi-Fi changing the world at the same time that electric flying vehicles will create a whole new market. Now, why is that important? Well, here's why. We talked about the fact there's $1 billion cars on the road right now, or on the globe. If over the next 30, 40 years, those are taken off and you crunch them, you don't need to be doing any mining. Whatever you're going to need to build the new flying taxis or windmills or whatever, you'll get from crunching up and reprocessing all the cars that aren't going to be, used.
Yeah. And well, you're still going to have to go after the batteries and all the other stuff. So,
but I'm just saying that inadvertently, a lot of this will help, with the this global warming issue, which of course the left will take credit for, but they're not even smart enough to see it. They should all be talking about it because if they wanted to make a difference, we're giving them a story to make a difference. But
all right. Well, the takeaways for me from the Biden interview on 60 Minutes, nothing about the border and nothing about fentanyl. Those two were
nothing about his son.
Well, yeah, they talked about his son.
One question.
But briefly, you could spend an hour on that topic alone if they had talked about it more.
Well, when they lose in November, and they'll lose big, before the Congress changes in January, you watch the media start pressing for impeachment. I talked to and a person said the Republicans are going to impeach. That's where they're going to go. They're going to try and shove impeachment down the Republicans' throat because of what Biden said to try and make them look bad.
Yeah.
So this is going to be good, Tom. This is better than overtime last weekend in the NFL. Okay, that was a great weekend of overtime.
That was a great weekend, yeah. Well, it's great for us no matter what they do. No matter what they do, it's stupid. It's great for us being on the, being on the radio and being on YouTube and LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook. So we're
StreamYard.
And StreamYard, of course. Yeah. So we're happy to be on all those places.
Yeah.
And,
multiple platforms. Yeah. And we don't even have a company behind us. We don't have, major broadcasting company, newspaper. Nobody. It'd just be you and me, buddy. It'd be a two of us, side by each.
That's why we need monetary support on Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Take a look.
That's right. Like they say in Montreal, do you want bacon or ham with that? And they say soft eggs side by each.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I never could figure out Canadian bacon. What do you call ham?
it's a smaller loaf. It's the tenderloin of ham.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. Well. Calling it bacon is, I don't know, that's an oxymoron.
That's a marketing ploy.
Must be. All right. So, all right. Well, hey, we want to thank everybody for watching us. Thanks so much. Hey, don't forget the award-winning Tom and Shane. We're on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 a.m. Mountain Time. You can listen live anywhere in the world, anywhere in the known world, and probably on the moon and other places. KMMSAM.com. Just click listen now. That's all you got to do. There's no sign up. There's no login. There's nothing to join. All you do is click on it and listen. And if you missed any of our past shows, including this one, we'll be up shortly. Tom and Shane past shows are also at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast when you go over there. We appreciate very much you guys tuning in and listening to us. And thanks, Shane, for being here. Thanks for all the great information. And we will see everyone. We'll talk to you on the radio on Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time.
But next Tuesday, we'll see everyone. Yeah.
Next Tuesday, we will see you. And, of course, as always, we'll be live, like it or not. And Linda, thanks, Tom and Shane. Very much for that. Thank you very much, Linda, for checking us out. We appreciate it so much.
Total loyal.
Amen to that. All right. That's going to do it for us. So we will see you on the next podcast. We'll talk to you on the radio on Saturday. Thanks for watching.